Ladies and gentlemen, my name is VexX, and this is the Vex on Vex podcast. Today, we're joined with members of the world-famous band Pagan.
I like it when you say our name.
Pagan.
Ooh.
So that's Michael Belinsky.
Yes,
along with, are you ready for this? Corey, no stage name. Hi, Corey.
Hello, how are you?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing lovely.
I haven't seen you since you and I were filmed discussing the ins and outs of sexual intimacy in the 1990s.
The ins and outs of ins and outs?
No, that's a good way to put it. Not really, though. But, you know, he's trying.
Right. Like, I tried a lot of those things you taught me, and, yeah, they just didn't work out that well.
We'll get there. The reason I'm bringing this up is you gentlemen are the star of a number one streaming video on Amazon Prime. Is that correct?
Correct. And you're in that as well.
I'm not the star, though. I'm a little annoyed. Not going to lie to you, Corey. Corey's got all this cool time. He's, like, humping a wall. Remember that part?
Yeah.
How'd he get to hump a wall?
I hump a lot of walls, though.
So what's the name of the video so they know what we're talking about?
Our Summer Vacation. If you go on Amazon and search Our Summer Vacation, you will find Corey, myself, and of course Vex in a very prominent role, giving Corey some advice, some sage-like wisdom that you were sharing.
Now, we didn't know each other, Corey, really, before that.
That was the first time we met.
Is that really the first time we met?
It really was.
You were the perfect straight man. And I'm not even being sarcastic. Like, if we had a comedy duo, you were fucking flawless. Like, you, like, laughed at the right times, you're not assuming. It's a good thing.
Yeah,
I currently
perfect.
Have a... I'm sorry?
I said you gotta be perfect.
Perfect. Lean in more on the microphone in the future. I'm just kidding. Corey's nervous because he's wearing headphones and we have microphones set up. So this is the Vex on Vex podcast.
How you guys feel? I'm excited to be here.
Are you really?
I am, because I listened to the first few episodes of this. It's fucking awesome.
See, I appreciate that. I don't know if it's legitimately awesome. Corey, I know you didn't listen to anything yet.
Not yet.
Of course you did.
Video.
So you said that you're excited to be on the podcast.
Yes, I am.
And you listened to the first few episodes.
Yes.
Corey, did you listen to any?
Not yet.
I didn't think you did. It's okay. I just knew you didn't. I can tell by your face. When Corey pauses, it's an affirmation that he didn't do whatever you said. So here's the point. The first episode, I interviewed Robot Phillips, good friend of mine, nice guy. He rambled a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And we had to reel him in, but it was a nice, genuine, good interview. So we let it go. Episode 2 was just me and him hanging out, and it was better. And then episode 3 is like the crescendo. It's like, oh, like it's really fun, and we're listening to music from the 90s and shit. And I like that episode a lot. So I felt like we like kind of felt our vibe, and I invited him to be the co-host. And he's not here, obviously, because I'm a bad fucking host, but tonight we have Pagan with us. It doesn't really matter. It's also daylight savings time. Did you set your clock back yet?
I have a phone that does it for me, actually. So.
Do you even own a wristwatch?
I do, actually. Haha.
What kind?
It's a Fossil.
No, they're decent. They're decent. I like Fossils. All right, we're going to begin this interview the way we do Vex on Vex, because you've never listened to it, is I asked you when you were 12 years old, both of you, what were your top 5 favorite musical artists? We're going to start with Michael. What's number 5 for you, sir?
Let's see. Got to put a lot of thought into this one. You know, I had it all prepared.
Oh, come on.
Because I knew you were going to ask this question.
Of course.
I was thinking about it. And two things occurred to me. One thing occurred to me that I still basically listen to most of these bands.
As do I.
So I'm not sure, though, does that mean I was really sophisticated at 12 years old, or I haven't grown since I was 12?
Neither. Scientists, and I'm not even making this shit up, have actually researched it. And the emotional attachment that you have from roughly 11 to like 15, especially in relation to pop music, as they call it, because popular music, will stay with you the entire arc of your life. If you were a younger man, you would like Panic at the Disco just as much as you might like someone who you were going to name now.
I would like to think that if I were a younger man, I would not like Panic at the Disco.
How about My Chemical Romance? Have you ever liked those guys?
I'm going to say no, but I've never really given them a fair shot, so I shouldn't.
The music's good. And then right at the end of their career, Corey, I know you don't care about any of this, but I'm telling you anyway. Right at the end of My Chemical Romance's career, they were like a fucking emo band. They became like almost a glammy, weird David Bowie type of thing. And I dig that shit. So like that last record that no one bought, just me.
Really good.
So Michael, number 5 artist when you're 12 years old.
So number 5, and this is the one that I don't stick with.
Okay.
Number 5 would be Marilyn Manson.
Oh, Mr. Manson.
Yeah, and it's more from personal experience.
And that's the beautiful part of this podcast. Please explain.
So when I was about 12 years old, I was flown out by a relative that I wasn't that familiar with.
Who blew you at 12 years old? Who blew you?
What? No, we were getting to that part.
Oh.
It was consensual. It's okay. Right?
No, it's never. No, not okay. Move along. Nothing to see here.
So I was flown out to the West Coast, and that person kind of introduced me to someone that they worked with, who introduced me to his brother's band, which turned out to be Marilyn Manson. And I spent some time hanging out with them on the West Coast, and I came back here. And this was right around the time, I believe, the Smells Like Children EP was out, or it was just coming out, but Sweet Dreams hadn't broken yet.
Understood.
So, like, I was, like, the only kid who had, like, a Marilyn Manson t-shirt, and it was because the band gave it to me. It wasn't because I bought it somewhere.
Now, again, Corey, you don't care or know any of this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I'm writing a book, which I pretty much speak about every fucking podcast. In that book, I remember when Marilyn Manson, the thing, the crest happened, because we were, like, fornicating with all these goth girls on South Street, and they were fucking obsessed. They were like, Mr. Manson! I didn't know there was. I was like, oh yeah, yeah, that guy's cool, I guess.
Well, they passed my test, my completely...
My test?
My 12-year-old brain test of how a band was breaking was if I would go down the shore with my family in the summer, if I was the only person or I only saw one or two other people with that shirt on, that band wasn't big yet. And then when I saw the next summer after that, though, I saw a lot of Marilyn Manson t-shirts. That's how I understood success at 12 years old.
No, it's a pretty good timeline, actually, or a good comparison, I should say. Like, it works well. I bet you... it's weird. In 2018, if you're on the same shore, there's a bunch of African-American kids wearing Def Leppard t-shirts. I have no idea who Def Leppard is.
That's a big thing right now. There's a lot of memes. So speaking of goth music and stuff like that, so there's a band called Joy Division.
Yes.
And their first album has a very iconic cover to it. And there's a lot of memes that have been going around showing these teenagers with the album cover, which doesn't say Joy Division on it, just has the image from the album cover. And it'll say things like, has no idea this is an album. Or this is a band. And I showed it to a friend of mine, and he goes, I know it's going to sound like I'm just being funny, but I own this shirt, and I never heard of Joy Division. Yeah.
How old was the friend?
He was a younger guy. So it's
pop. He's not a guy who locks himself in a cage dressed like a dog, is he?
No, he's not that guy. But he knows that guy.
He knows that guy. Corey.
Hello.
You're a little younger than us, but at 12 years old, who was your favorite band?
Who was your favorite band?
Number five? Oh. Probably. And remember, I am much younger. It's probably Bullet? For my Valentine?
Well, you gotta say the whole name. Bullet.
I'm sorry. Bullet for my Valentine? Yeah.
Okay, no, that's not bad. They're good. It's not my thing. Oh, now you don't like them? Because now you're 17, no. So you're like, fuck that shit?
Well, not 17. Legal age, at least.
At least. You know, 18's legal age, at least.
True.
Actually, they changed it in France. It's 15 now.
I was going to say, I think it's France. Like 16 in Pennsylvania, so long as you're within so many years of the person.
Fornication, yes.
Oh, it has to be consensual, though.
Who says no at 16? Let's tell the truth between us, Corey.
Well, I don't know. I tried to assault this girl once, and it didn't work out for me.
It really didn't.
That's fucked up. You just admitted to a crime. That's lovely. All the opinions shared by Corey are not shared by the Vex on Vex podcast, just so we're clear. So, Bullet for My Valentine is the number five band.
Yeah, they were probably one of the first bands I saw in concert as well.
How was that concert?
I mean, I thought it was good at the time.
But why would you say not now?
Well, I mean, I just kind of don't listen to as much music as I listened to back in the day, especially that kind of, like, Bullet for My Valentine.
You lost me, I'm sorry. You don't listen to music as much, or you don't listen to them as much?
I don't listen to them as much.
Well, that makes sense, because, you know, you're older. But still, the drummer could play.
Right, like, I mean, it's
technically a proficient band.
Yeah, it was, and it was, the concerts were always good. I always had a good time, you know, doing your thing out there, especially mosh pits and all that.
The pits. All right, the number four band, Michael.
All right, number four. And from this point forward on my list, these are all artists that I still actively listen to. I don't listen to Marilyn Manson anymore. Nobody that I remained friends with from that point forward is involved in the band or has been in a while at this point.
He passed away, didn't he?
Yeah, Scott, the person I was closest to, passed away recently. But I will say, if you listen to the newest Marilyn Manson album, they obviously still listen to Pagan. moving on to number four, though. No, it's really cool to hear stuff I did 5 years ago.
Again, the opinions shared by Mr. Belinsky are not shared by the Vex on Vex podcast. Continue, sir.
Number four, I would have to go with Dr. Dre.
Seriously?
Yeah, I grew up at the time when rap was really starting to get big, and particularly I specifically got into gangster rap.
No, I'm with that. And N.W.A. to me was the shit.
Loved N.W.A.
Ice-T, all that stuff. I did. But Dre himself, because you got to think, all right, Chronic's good, right? I wasn't a Chronic fan because I was never a hipster, Corey. But I had that hipster vibe that everybody else likes this shit, so fuck this shit. So I wasn't really a fan of the Chronic per se, but I was bumping those old NWA records. I adored them.
So I started with NWA. I had a cassette of Straight Outta Compton.
Great.
And when I was a kid, my grandparents got me a cassette alarm clock so that I could wake up to music.
Brilliant.
So it was Straight Outta Compton. And particularly when I was in, and didn't want to go to school. On the weekends, I could wake up at the drop of a dime. But, you know, during the week when you had to go to school, it took three songs usually to get into there. So we got through Straight Outta Compton, usually got through Fuck the Police. And that's when my dad just offered to start waking me up after he heard Fuck the Police 800 times. But it's funny because, what was it, a year ago at this point when the biopic came out about them, the Straight Outta Compton?
Oh, it's longer than that.
Is it two now? 2 years?
It might be three.
Really? Is it that long? Well, my dad actually wanted to go see it and asked me to go see it.
Good movie, though.
Well, it was a good movie. And I was like, why do you want to see the NWA movie? He's like, because I had to listen to that tape so many times. He's like, I feel like I know those songs and I hate it. He's like, but I know those songs, so now like I have some sort of interest in this movie from it. But it was actually the Chronic. The reason I say Dr. Dre instead of NWA is it's actually because of the Chronic. That was where I first kind of started to understand what production was.
Sure.
And nothing against the NWA production, but you can hear an enormous shift from that.
Well, you got
NWA still had that old school, like, looped sound to it that all those early great rap records
had. Had no money. And no technology.
But even if you listen to the other stuff that was coming out at the same time as the Chronic sounds like old school, like soul and funk records. Like that sounds like Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. Like,
sure.
Like there's a live band with it. I would pay millions of dollars, by the way, if Marvin Gaye were still alive to have him cover Bitches Ain't Shit.
But here's the thing.
Incredible.
For a very small amount of cocaine, he would have definitely done that.
That's what I meant by millions of dollars.
Like a very, like a capful of
I would have bought a lot of coke and gave him just a tiny
just
bit.
A line.
Just to saying Bitches Ain't Shit but Hoes and Tricks.
Because remember, he wasn't a great songwriter per se. Marvin Gaye was a great vocalist.
Correct.
That was his thing. He wrote stuff, but like, you know, he wasn't the songwriter, especially when he was in the Motown days. Corey, do you know anything about the Motown days?
I do not.
Had I known, at least you answered honestly.
He gave the hesitation.
He's like,
I wanted to give that as a confirmation, actually. Silence.
Yeah. It works both ways, I suppose. Like, that's how you rape somebody, I guess.
If
you think that the silence is affirmative, you're like, listen, I'm going to put this in you. If you don't say anything, I assume this is okay between us.
And then you get a Jell-O ad in a sitcom?
Yeah.
Literally! Fuck it. What is that, man? Like, alright, perhaps the most prolific rapist of the 20th century.
So I don't know rape statistics, but I saw the most fucked up thing, and I don't know if this is accurate, but some website posted statistics of like how often rapes are reported that weren't real or were embellished somehow by the person who was the victim in the situation, and they said that it's like less than 1% of reported rapes are faked.
Sure.
And they said if 50% of the people who've spoken out against Bill Cosby
are fake,
he would still be one of the most prolific rapists of all
ever.
Time. If half of them were fake.
Here's one I said this on a previous podcast that Corey never heard. But all right, Bill Cosby is featured prominently in the TV Dad's Wrestling Podcast universe. He is one half of the current World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. Not that either one of you care. But I Johnny Zero and myself have taken that character, who was like America's dad, and put him with OJ, who killed a whole bunch of people, and they're a fucking tag
real
team.
America's dad.
And neither one of them went to jail. So to me, it's just funny conceptually that they're like, we call them the Royals, by the way. But I have a story that leads into that a little bit. Joe Rogan, somebody, I love his podcast, he told a story, or someone told a story on his podcast. Cosby was at a casino in maybe the late 80s, early 90s, doing a stand-up set. When he goes to do the set, he wants to eat his dinner. Before he does the set. He made the staff stand around the table and watch him eat in silence. I'm gonna say that again for you. Before Bill Cosby would go on the stage to do his comedy performance, he wanted his dinner. He made the cook, the maid, the dishwasher stand around his table in silence and watch him eat.
At first, if we didn't know what we know about Cosby now, I would say that's just some crazy rich guy shit.
Yes.
But now, is it like a weird sexual thing?
I don't 100%. Think it's sexual. You do?
Voyeurism.
Yeah, like, is it like he wanted, I need to be watched?
He wanted to be watched before he climaxed on stage, for sure.
Well, he was eating. But my point is, he thinks he's a royalty. He's above you. And that's the point. If he wants to fuck you, he will give you drugs and he will fuck you and then throw you out in the street. And the shit worked for decades. I don't know, man. It's bad.
Easy to replicate, though.
Say it again.
Easy to replicate.
Explain.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you're a rich guy and you have all the right tools.
Yeah, I feel like there's probably still people who are still doing this, even with all the Me Too stuff and all that. Like, this is 100% still going on.
I don't know, man. How hard is it for Bill Cosby to bang a groupie at the height of his success?
And that's kind of the fucked up part, and shows, you know, that it's more about, like, power and just him doing whatever he feels like, because Bill Cosby was rich and famous. I mean, he still is, just more infamous now. But he was rich and famous. He could have fucked most of the women who probably came out to his shows.
Literally.
Yeah. Like, groupies are a real thing. You and I have talked about this on podcasts.
Oh,
groupies are real.
Yeah.
When you're on the road, that doesn't even count.
They're friends of the band, Corey. Friends of the band. Are you in a relationship currently, sir?
I am.
Are you really?
Yes.
How long have you been with your woman? Is it a woman? Is it a man? I don't even know.
It's a woman. And 3 years.
She's an it.
It's a woman.
What is her name?
Her name is Paige.
Oh. Okay. This makes more sense in my brain now. So you're dating Paige for the length of 3 years now.
Yes.
How'd you guys meet?
We actually met online.
That's so fucking creepy.
It is really creepy. It's even creepier when you would know that as an 18-year-old, I flew out to go see her without actually knowing her.
Where does she live now?
She lives here now.
You moved her here. Shipped her in.
Yes.
You're like, vagina, come to me.
I sure
you're like
was.
Trump.
Like, I can't be...
He grabbed her by the pussy.
No, I meant like bringing... No. I mean, I'm sure by this point, yeah, but I meant bringing in your wife, like importing a wife.
So wait, you're married?
Yeah. No, I am not.
How come?
That's a good question. I don't really have an answer for that.
All right, how old are you?
24.
Okay, that's why you're not married, in case you were wondering, because that's madness, sir. Although my first wife was 23 when we got married.
How old were you?
28. I didn't mean to get married. Do you guys know this fucking story?
No.
Do you know the story?
No. But you didn't mean to. You accidentally got married?
I did not want to get married at all. Like, when I met this woman...
So I officiated your last ceremony.
Well, that
you
one
knew
was...
what was happening,
that
right?
one I was into. You know?
Okay.
But here's the thing. So the band Starscream had just got out to our first ever tour of the West Coast. Do you know about the Whiskey Go-Go in California?
I do not.
Are you fucking serious?
I am not.
Wait, you are?
I mean, I am serious. I
so
am
you're a musician. I have no idea what the Whiskey Go-Go is.
That's correct.
Do you know what CBGB's was?
Man, you're throwing a lot of names at me.
So no.
No.
Seriously? And he's in your band?
Yeah.
This is your fucking guitar player?
Yes.
Fuck.
I'll remind you, I'm only 24, though.
What the fuck's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. Might have something to do with it.
No, I don't think it does, actually.
Oh, okay.
You have a phone, right?
I do.
Is it a smartphone?
It is.
So you can Google anything on the planet Earth.
Temporarily.
And you have
yes.
no idea what CBGB is.
Correct.
This should hurt your heart.
Well, I have to know what they are before it can
have
hurt my heart.
Have you ever heard of the Ramones?
Yes.
Have you heard of Blondie?
Yes.
Is that the only ones? There's more, right? Oh, Talking Heads. Have you heard of Talking Heads?
Those I have not. No.
Oh my god. Oh! Is this
that? See, that actually makes sense to me, though. I feel like Ramones is something, because Ramones have become like a brand.
Yeah, they're all dead.
Sure. But I see Ramones shirts on kids. I've never seen a Talking Head shirt on anyone.
But you've seen Joy Division like, shirts on everybody, and they have no fucking idea what that is either.
That's absolutely true. That's what I mean, though. I feel like the Ramones are a more recognizable brand than Talking Heads.
It hurts my heart that I have to take a small part of our podcast and give you a brief history lesson about rock and roll. But if you're going to be in Pagan, this is important, so I have to tell you. I'm serious, too.
I'm ready for it.
In the late 50s, early 60s, some gentlemen from the Chicago mob moved out to California. They were Chicago mob. They're Italians. They're tough. They made a lot of money. They left. They opened up a go-go joint. Okay? It kind of morphed through the 60s and became like a live music establishment called Whiskey a Go-Go. You ever heard of The Doors?
Yes.
The Doors were one of the house bands before they had a record deal on Netflix. So that's when it really starts, right? It's a big deal. Buffalo Springfield, I'm sure you've heard of them. You don't really know Buffalo Springfield, do you?
Yeah,
I heard of them, but I don't know them. How about Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
No.
Fucking seriously?
Very serious.
What do you listen to? Like, in your car? What station do you listen to?
Well, I usually listen to 93.3, but...
They play a lot of Crosby, Stills, and Nash Act, and they do, too.
I actually don't listen to the radio.
Yeah, I know, you're like a bastard, I'm aware.
To be fair, I usually listen to it in the morning during the President Steve show, so they have mostly talk sessions.
I'm not allowed to say this, because I'm a musician in Philadelphia, but I fucking hate that show.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Now, you probably don't remember this, because you're 24, I'm doing some math in my head. So when you were 10, they were still on Y100. Remember that, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. They were kind of good on Y100. As a morning show, they were like cutting edge, they were younger, they were smart. And you know who was on 93.3 at the same time? Remember Barsky in the morning?
Yeah, I do.
Barsky in the morning! So Barsky was shit, and they were just dying on the mic. So eventually, Y100 goes the way of the dodo. It doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. They take President Steve and make them like the fucking cornerstone of MMR, which is cool. But they've just become like, if you call it a gadzooks, they're just fucking...
They're radio guys now.
They're saccharine-y, and the fucking humor's awful. And then I listen to the show, because I listen as well sometimes, and the staff, the way they speak, you're like, these might be some good-looking dudes. And I Googled them, and they're all fucking hideous. And that makes me sad in my heart. Like, brush your teeth. Put a hat on. Take a shower. Now, what the fuck is wrong with you? And like, and they're supposed to be like, I don't know. If you're a comedian coming through Philadelphia, all comedians will say that when you see President Steve, it's a positive environment. They're good to comedians. It's funny. I'm not a fan, man. I grew up on Stern. So I'm really old. I could be your father. How scary is that? So, but literally, I could. Because I had sex in 1990 and he was born way after that. Yeah, what year were you born?
93, actually.
You're the same age as my drummer. How fucking creepy is that shit? My fucking drummer's like, oh, my God. But he knows what CBGB is, goddammit. So anyway, Whiskey Go-Go happens, and the Doors are there. And then Motley Crue happens. You ever heard of Motley Crue?
Yes.
Guns N' Roses. They all come out of the same fucking club, Van Halen. Like, great fucking rock and roll from this club. It closes for a while in the 80s, becomes a bank. A newly signed Guns N' Roses relaunches it in 87? Is that when they came back with the fucking restart of it?
Yeah.
Okay, so about that. My band, Starscream, gets there in 2004. Obviously, this is way after the... But our fucking name was on the marquee, and they spelled it right. And it was this momentous, like, oh my God, I'm going to put the same fucking stage Jim Morrison played on. That fucking Motley Crue played on. And that was a big deal. And we were headlining. It was a big deal. I was very excited. I take a picture of it. I text my girlfriend, and I'm like, I am so happy right now. This is the coolest thing ever. And I send her a picture. And I'm like, I just, you know, I spent the rest of my life with you, and I'm really happy. And then that's all I wrote. And I'm like, happy, right? 10 minutes goes by. She's like, yes, I am happy too, and I will marry you. And I look at the text, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I didn't ask her to marry me at all. I am really confused by this. And then I marry her. But that happened.
You didn't throw back, like, a new phone, who does?
But I really, and you won't know this, Corey, because you were 10 when this happened. When I met that girl, my opening line to her was, I will never ask you to marry me. And she said, good. And went on a date because her long-term boyfriend had just proposed and she freaked out and ran away from him.
Like that day?
Yeah, that fucking hour. Like they had dinner at like 10 o'clock or some shit and she threw drinks at him and ran away screaming. And my rhythm guitar player was trying to bang her roommate. So we're hanging out with the roommate. So she calls the roommate and I take the phone like, hey, how you doing? I'm Creepy Bex. Ha ha ha. And she's like, oh, I'm very upset. Ah. And I put her on speaker in front of all these people at a restaurant. And she's like, he just asked me to marry him. I'm like, listen, I don't know you, but I will never ask you to marry me. Let's hang out. And then she responded favorably, and then we got married 4 months to the day. How fucked up is that? That happened. Look at your face.
I can't.
What? You can't what?
There's no mirror around. How am I supposed to look at my face?
Good point. But what is your reaction to that story now that you hear? You look very shocked.
See, there's no real consistency, see, in what you're saying, though.
Explain.
You told her you wouldn't ask her to marry you. I'm just a little confused.
It was confusing. But okay, shit happens. And I'll tell you the truth of it. You're going to get through this life. You're going to get some shit on you. Hey man, do some stuff. Make some mistakes.
Just
fall down.
Just marry some people.
Ride a motorcycle. Crash. See what happens. Like, there's things that will happen. You gotta live. That was what I fucked up a little bit with. I was very, very, very careful in my 20s, and I was like, I'm never gonna hurt my body and all this stuff. And now in my 40s, I climbed 4 buildings today. 4 fucking buildings. The first building was 4 stories. The second building was 3 stories. Third building was only 2 stories. And then the last one was 5 stories. And that was my fucking Saturday. For real. Look at you're all shy.
I mostly slept all day, so I feel sorry for you in that sense that you have to climb 4 different buildings today.
I made more money today than you made this month.
I mean, probably this whole year.
No, not that much, but it was pretty good. It was a good fucking day, man. Nice check. What do you do for a living, Corey?
I'm actually a pharmacy technician right now, aside from being part of Pagan.
Do you, like, pocket the pills and shit, like, pop them, and, like, are you that guy? Is that how you're in Pagan? You know nothing about rock and roll, but you have, like, access to pills.
I have access to a lot of things.
No, seriously, are you popping the pills and stuff? Because that'd be really bad. Look at his face.
Can't answer that question. No, I'm just kidding. No, I do not. I do not.
No, you say no. Vex, did you kill anyone? No. That's the answer. Like, you say no when they ask you the illegal questions.
I've never killed anybody, but you still won't touch weapons I put in front of you.
That's a true fucking story. We're like 5 years into our relationship. Corey, this is true. I will go to his house. If there's a knife, I put gloves on. I'm like, oh, let me see your knife. Don't touch any weapons that Mike gives you ever. Now, Corey in his head's going.
I made a mistake already.
Yeah, Corey's like, I've definitely touched that shotgun before.
But a lot more than just a shotgun.
But Mike was on the fucking no-fly list. He was, like, being hunted by the federal government. This is true story. You're the manager of my band.
Yeah, that's true.
What the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah, I was investigated by the government.
Literally.
Yeah. They didn't find shit. I was innocent.
Corey, number 4 band when you were 12 years old.
Probably Rob Zombie. I've seen them a lot in concert as well.
Now, that's interesting. You think of Rob Zombie as a band.
Well, technically.
But technically not. It's a solo artist. The band was called White Zombie.
That's true. That's very true.
And Johnny Five wasn't always part of the project.
Well, then I would say number 4 artist.
Okay.
Instead of band.
Okay. Why?
I guess, well, let me try and think about this way back then. So when I first started hearing of music, he was my probably first real entryway to some rock and roll and stuff like that.
How did you first hear about Rob Zombie?
Actually, my friends. So I had a couple friends growing up, and you know, when you're younger and stuff like that, I never found any of this rock music or anything like that on my own. I had to be shown it, especially because, you know, my parents are Spanish, so a lot of them only listen to that kind of music. And
what nationality
really,
are you?
I'm Puerto Rican.
My wife's Puerto Rican. Sitting right over there. Hi, honey. She's from Puerto Rico, though. So she looks down her nose at you because you're from here.
My mom's from Puerto Rico.
Oh, that's it. That's all we get. Nobody fucks with it. Mike doesn't come there. Were your parents older?
They're not too much older. They're in their 50s
now. They're like
literally
my age.
I'm going to call you old.
Also. I'm fucking old. Yeah. My wife's yelling at us. The microphone will definitely pick it up as you heard in your headphones.
I did.
Any siblings?
Yeah, I have a sister. I guess also she's the one who helped me a lot into that because when she was going through her whole phases, I was a teenager. I was 4 years younger than her, so okay. I got kind of mainlined into
that. So
that
whole
cranky well.
Thing kind of.
Yeah, I actually stole her. She went.
You stole her?
Oh, no. I stole her shirt.
Stole my sister.
So she went to a 2006
concert. They had Corey. They were going
concert.
Through like a mall, and they were like, another kid. Just grabbed a girl.
Yeah, I was like, that one.
She looks
that
nothing
one,
like us.
But no, so I stole one of her shirts that she saw because she went to a Rob Zombie concert, and it was a 2006 concert.
But the imagery is, like, fabulous.
Yeah, that's why I stole it. I was like, this is amazing, and then that's kind of when I listened to it with my friends and stuff like that. That's when I kind of started getting on.
A lot of people my age and a little older found Kiss in the exact same way. Like, you just see this visual, and Zombie definitely has always had that going on.
For sure.
Definitely. Influenced by Kiss a great deal, actually, ironically enough. And the Ramones, shockingly. Yes, yeah, cover of Blitzkrieg Bop is.
I like it sometimes.
You know
depends
what?
On the mood
no,
that
I'm with you. If I'm at the gym and it comes on random, I'm like, oh, it's not bad. And then I figure out what song it is, I'm like,
You kind of feel sorry about it afterwards.
He just ruined the riff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mike, who's your number 3 band when you were 12 years old? Or act, I should say.
Right. I'm going to have to go with Guns N' Roses.
GNR.
Did you ever hear them?
Yeah, I have. If I'm not mistaken, you're intimately involved in some retread version of the band, if you don't mind explaining to the listening audience.
So for anybody who doesn't know, our band, Pagan, Richard Fortus, who is the longest running guitar player in the history of Guns N' Roses.
Technically that would be true, yes.
Yeah. He has played on Pagan stuff before and engineered and co-wrote stuff. We've had members of Guns N' Roses on. I used to run a... Before this was a podcast network, I had a radio station called Outloaded, and we had Guns N' Roses on there as well. So we had members of the band, and yeah, they're good guys.
But you like original Guns when you were a little kid.
Yeah, well, I was introduced to Guns N' Roses. It's weird, the same person who introduced me to Guns N' Roses is the person who introduced me to industrial music. It was actually a friend of my father's.
What was his name?
I can't remember.
You can't remember?
Yeah, I don't remember that guy's name, but he was a DJ. And at like different functions and things that my dad would bring me out to, he was always the DJ of these functions, like work parties and things like that. And what he would do is he would have, like, at the DJ booth, he would set up a separate turntable with headphones there, and I would just sit behind the DJ booth and listen.
Is this a molestation story?
No, I realized that it started to sound that way.
As you're talking.
Yeah, I realized it started, and then I turned around and his cock was right by my face.
And you're like, I thought of this priest that was touching me inappropriately, and I just...
No priest molested me, sad. Anyway,
was I not attractive enough? Like, what the fuck? I was a good-looking kid.
I know, and one of the worst offenders of that, I know we're getting off on a little bit of a rapey tangent again, but one of the worst offenders of that was the principal of one of the high schools I attended, and he and I, like, talked a lot, and I was, I'm not saying, like, this sounds weird, but I do feel a little bit rejected. Like, I'm
now,
a sweet piece of ass.
I can't believe I'm going to have to justify this to you as to why you are a molester. However, they have those in-depth conversations to feel you out. And he's like, this fucking kid's gonna talk. So I can't molester this kid. I'm gonna molester Corey over there, because he's really fucking quiet.
I don't know, I think Mike was the fluffer. So he would kind of bring Mike in, talk to him. He was like, yeah, I'm ready for
it. Corey, I'm proud of you. That was a great fucking segue.
That was good.
Mike is a fluffer. I just wanted the world to marinate that in their brains for a moment. He's like, Mike's like, are you okay? I got it. All right, it's ready, it's ready. Let's go to camera.
Getting the priest ready.
Action.
So yeah, one of the things that he put on one of the parties that we went to, he's like, listen to this, but don't tell your dad.
And it was, no, but that's
like, here's my cock. And no, it was Appetite for Destruction. So that was the first time that I heard Guns N' Roses. And then he gave me a bunch of tapes to take home, and it was stuff like KLF, Copyright Liberation Front, and bands like that.
Now, I want to make, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Mm-hmm. He wasn't married, was he?
No. Yeah. This was like a 20-something-year-old guy, yeah, like trying to share beers with kids.
We ever wrote it like
that. I wonder
why. Trevor Dan.
Yeah, he gave me all these tapes and stuff, and that's how I found industrial music. So I found Guns N' Roses and industrial music really at the same time.
Yeah, Axl was obsessed with industrial music.
I didn't know that until later. Because it made it really confusing when I listened to My World.
I remember explaining to a friend of mine, I was like, if you're wondering what the new Guns N' Roses is going to sound like, I would turn on My World, and he's like, oh, it's going to suck. And I'm like, yes, Beavis, it's going to suck. You even know who Beavis and Butthead are?
I do, actually, I do.
Because literally, you're 24, they just had their 25th anniversary, like, days ago. Did you guys see that on
no,
Facebook?
I didn't know that.
No, me neither.
Who pretty much I was at the tender age of 14, so in a lot of ways I appreciate it. Now, Corey, the number three act for you when you were 12 years old.
I'm going to have to say Linkin Park. Listen to them a lot, actually.
All right, watch this, ready?
I know.
Now, for anyone listening, that's the sound of me rolling my fucking eyes. Now, I'm sorry that the guy killed himself. I'm sad, but
you just ruined it because somebody was like, did Vex just finish?
It sounds nothing like that. Check this
what
out.
What does it sound like when you finish?
I'll tell you. When I was a kid and you learn how your dick works, right? I lived in a house with my family. So I remember coming in silence for years. So when I'm finally sexually active, they're like, did you come? Well, you didn't make any noise. I'm like, bitch, I've been coming like this forever. I don't make no noises, you know. So I make more noises now, as my wife could probably attest to, but they're nothing spectacular. They sound a lot, they're animalistic and bad. And not like cool, like lion animalistic. It's like, I don't know, a sheep dying or something. Like, you know, like, it's nothing good. It's not cool and sexy.
That,
you know,
just got me to half mast.
Well, that's because you're a fucking deviant, you know what I'm saying? You're in pagan, man. But, I digress. Linkin Park, really?
Yeah, first CD I ever bought. It was Linkin Park.
Now,
the first CD I ever bought was Vanilla Ice. So just to throw that.
Now here's the thing. I'm so old, I didn't buy CDs. I bought cassette tapes. The first one I ever bought with my own money is Motley Crue, Girls, Girls, Girls.
Oh, I bought cassette tapes before that, but the first actual CD was Vanilla Ice.
My CD was Alice in Chains' Dirt.
Basically the same thing.
Very similar project. You're friends with Rob.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We met a long time ago and we kept in touch. I was on.
Were you there when he was rolling up the Hootie Mac? Roll them up. Roll up the Hootie Mac. Roll them up. Roll them up. Why don't that sound?
I've heard. No, this was after that. This was around like 2000, 2001, whenever the Bipolar album came out, because that was the tour that it was on.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember that. Rob Van Winkle. And he was not dangled over a fucking ledge by.
No, he's a big guy. that wouldn't work. They're like friends now too.
He's not a big guy.
Instagram post together.
I mean, tall, but he's like rail fucking thin.
You still couldn't like hang him over something and actually hold on to him.
Several African American gentlemen perhaps could.
I mean, if there was multiple ones.
I believe there were multiples.
Him and
it's like your sex life. Like your first sex tape, bunch of black guys. Like imagine that. Like that's what it was like.
You said you weren't going to tell anybody.
Whatever, it's a fucking
you were like,
movie.
Just show me. It's okay. It's just us.
Well, I didn't show you. Your number two project or band when you were a child.
We back to me?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I'm not talking about Linkin Park. Fuck Linkin Park.
I thought we were going to get further than Linkin Park. He's like Linkin Park. Okay, Mike. What was your
number two? I was hoping he was going to say Limp Bizkit, because I could have at least had a Limp Bizkit story, but fucking Linkin... All right, fuck it. We'll talk. Why? Why Linkin Park, Corey?
Listen, you go through a lot of things when you're a child, and they're not all great, you know?
All right. So. I remember when Linkin Park broke commercially. I was opening up for a band called Silvertide, which you probably heard of.
Not familiar.
No, not familiar. Right before they got their deal with J Records, and I had this girlfriend named Sarah. No idea what her last name was. I'll figure it out. But anyway, Sarah was a statuesque. She was a beautiful girl. Fucking insane, man. If her lips were moving, Corey, she was fucking lying. True story. Anyway, she's like, I love Linkin Park. This record's so good. So I'm in my car, and I threw it out my window. I was like, fuck this. And I ended the act. I don't see. I just fucking threw it out the window in 95. Fuck, man. I don't like Linkin Park. Like, musically, I mean, well, you were 12.
I was. What
was I rocking at 12? Not Linkin Park. Van Halen.
Guns N' Roses.
Linkin Park, really?
Yeah, it really was. I'm not gonna lie to you.
But when he died, were you like all sad and shit?
I was not. I do not listen to Linkin Park like that.
My drummer, who's your age, was all fucking emotional, typing, posting memes on Facebook. Oh, it's so tragic that he killed himself.
So actually, my girlfriend was the same way. She had to like play that song they wrote for him like 1,000 times.
No,
like,
Corey, she has a vagina. That makes sense to me.
Oh,
Corey.
I guess so, yeah.
But you have, like, testicles. So when you say to me, I was influenced at 12 by them, it makes me sad in my heart. That's all. That's all it
no,
is.
No, that's all right.
That's all right.
That's all right. That's all right. No, I can't change
your
that
heart.
For me.
Your heart doesn't mean anything to me. Fuck you. It's Vex on Vex with my heart, goddammit.
Number two band when you were a child, Michael.
So my number two band was this little band called Psychotica.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Even back then?
Yeah, even back then. I almost made them my number one because I knew we were going to do this, so okay. Coming into it. But there's one that I just always listen to. They have to be my number one.
But, all right, this is suspect because the gentleman in Psychotica is in Pagan now.
True.
So that's fucking, I don't know if I buy that one. That's like saying Starscream is my favorite band when I was 12.
No, he can attest to it that I've always been a huge fan. We were doing a podcast together once, and I mentioned something about how what a big influence they were on me, and he turned around and he's like, you're welcome.
Oh, wow. Is,
yeah.
Isn't that lovely?
It's great.
Now, a couple years, you know who Lady Gaga is, right?
I do.
You do know that, because you're 12, so I don't fucking know you know. But Lady Gaga, love singing. So, we did another West Coast tour in 2009, Starscream, the band I'm in, and Lady Gaga was really big at the time, like huge, like she's not as fucking big of a deal now, she's famous, but she was selling out everywhere. The opening act on that tour was a band called Semi Precious Weapons, who I played with at the Viper Room on the Sunset Strip, right near the Whiskey A Go-Go, you have no idea what that is, but do you know what the Viper Room
is? I do now,
is?
Actually.
Do you know what the Viper Room is?
No.
Seriously? River real, Phoenix yeah. died there, man.
Do you know who River Phoenix is?
What's the other Phoenix? What's his brother's name?
Joaquin.
So you know who Joaquin Phoenix is, right?
I might.
Oh my God, Corey! Why listen, the fuck are you in Pagan?
I don't know names that well. So there's also that. I might have heard of people.
Did you ever watch the Johnny Cash movie?
Yes.
The guy who played Johnny Cash is Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
So you can see that in your mind.
Yeah,
right?
Now I know who that is.
The only reason you fucking know who that is his brother died. His brother was a huge fucking star. And then he died at Johnny Depp's club, which is the Viper Room, where I played with Semi-Precious Weapons, who were directly influenced tremendously by Psychotica.
I was directly influenced by them a little bit as well. I remember, so the way that I found out about them is I was reading some zine that people were passing around school, and there was a picture of Pat in there. And I was like, that guy looks insane.
Back then,
this is curious.
He had the silver pants.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was the silver.
The bleach blonde.
Suit. Yeah.
That was the whole suit,
the
wasn't
whole
it?
Suit, yeah.
And I remember, I'm sorry to cut you.
Marilyn Manson looked like that a few years later, too.
That's his literally.
Thing. That's his thing, is sounding and looking like our friends.
Wow, that's so lovely. Dude, well, he's really drunk. There's no way he's going to hear this. I don't know. I kind of like that guy. Brian Wonder's cool. I don't
know. No. The early stuff I really liked. And it's nothing against him as a person.
He was on the Marc Maron podcast a few months ago. And Marc Maron said that he just progressively got drunker. Like, he started out, he was like Corey. And then by the end, he was like you. So like, he just he got like drunker and drunker as the hour went along. But here's my point, though. So Seven Precious Weapons were a big fucking deal in 2009 because they're opening up for Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga. I love saying that. And I went and I researched them online. And I'm looking at their videos. I'm looking at the videos. And I'm old. So I'm like, they look just like that band, Psychotica. And I wasn't a Psychotica fan, per se. But I remember them existing. MTV was on their dicks for a minute. Pat went in the press and said, I've had my penis surgically removed. Because all it did was get me in trouble. And at the tender age of like 18, I'm like, not a bad idea.
Makes this sense guy's on his own.
He's like, I definitely fuck all these dirty chicks, and I'm gonna get the AIDS eventually, you know. And so
the AIDS.
My AIDS acted up. But the point is, Semi-Precious Weapons, who were famous for like 4 seconds, stole everything from Psychotica. And then when I sent it to Mike, who then sent it to Psychotica, they couldn't fucking believe it. They were like, "That's all of our shit."
Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy. But I mean, even Miss Gaga, as you mentioned, she was doing a tour, and Pat and I have spoken about this because Pat was a guest a number of times on my radio show that I had in the previous version of Loud and Loaded, and he took, I believe it was his niece, to see Lady Gaga, and they brought out a big white egg.
And he's like, that's my fucking gig, man.
And they brought out, they brought her out in the egg on stage, and she, broke out, and the band kicks in, and all that stuff, and as somebody who's a little bit familiar with Psychotica, I didn't need him to tell me, that was their act. That was them in the 90s.
So then, obviously, Semi-Precious Weapons and Lady Gaga were doing drugs together and watching that band.
Yeah, they were watching the Lollapalooza videos of Psychotica.
Literally.
They were just this is a great idea.
They're no one cares, dude. We'll just take this. No one will know. Only Mike's gonna know. Fuck Mike, dude. It's cool.
Fuck that guy.
I often agree with that.
Do you really?
Yes.
You don't know what CBGBs is. You have no room to speak here, so. You should apologize for Zemmers.
I would like to publicly apologize.
Well, but yeah, I saw the thing with Pat, and there was some little interview with him where he said some I'm sure some crazy shit, and I was like, that's interesting. And I want to say it was around Christmas time. My stepmother at the time, because my dad gets married often.
When you said my stepmother, all I thought was my stepmother's an alien. For some reason, that's where my mind went. That fucking Dan Aykroyd movie. Just thought of it. But go ahead.
Dan Aykroyd, greatest actor of all time, right?
Not at all.
And I went to the store and I saw the first Psychotica album, the crucified alien Pat on the cover of it, and I was just like, oh my god, that's that crazy guy from the thing.
There's no penis.
Yeah, I was like, I gotta listen to this record.
The clown has no penis.
And I got it and I listened to it and I was like, this is fucking amazing.
That's
These guys are just as fucked up as I am in the same way. And I was right.
No, I'm not going to say it, but not at all, actually. It's going in a very, very different direction in 2018. Your number two band, Corey.
My number two band is going to have to be Blink-182. Listen to them a lot as well, and I'm sorry to upset you, but I'm trying to be as honest as possible. They're great.
Did you just say they're great? You're a fucking retard. You just said they're great. They know they're not great, and the guitar player singer's like, you know, we suck, right? We fucking suck. I'm leaving. He left to go find aliens. That's how much they suck. You didn't know that?
Because I talked to my brother.
Oh. Don't acknowledge the woman behind the curtain. We are here alone. She's not on microphone. So, no. You really like Blink-182?
Oh, I'm going to be honest. I like them a lot.
Still?
No, not really.
Show me your Blink-182 tattoo.
Oh, hold on. It's on my ass cheek.
Show me, motherfucker. I will take a picture and that will go on the podcast fucking page. It'll be amazing.
No. That doesn't exist, unfortunately.
You kick the table. Go ahead, sir. Now explain, justify this fucking shit to me. I want to hear it.
All right, so when I was growing up, I maybe had cable for 4 years.
In front of the mic, don't turn the head like my wife does.
I would watch MTV and stuff like that, and they would be on it, and I kind of watched the Damn It video, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. I wish I was cool like those guys.
Alright, conceptually, I'll give you that. That makes a little bit of sense, but you're a fucking musician. Like, you play music with your hands and your heart. Like, you know this, right?
Right.
You have some delusion in your fucking head that they're brilliant.
Actually, so here's the thing.
Your hand?
So here's the thing, actually. So when I decided to learn guitar and stuff like that, I still listened to that music at the time. So I would start to learn their songs, and then I'd be like, wow, these are easy. These are dumb. And that's kind of actually when I started
to fall out with them. I felt the same way when I started playing, and they were giving me Beatles songs. That was just to trigger all the hipsters. I'm sorry. You can go back to your...
No, all right, let's... I'm sorry to cut you off, because fuck Blink 182. But, you think the Beatles are the greatest thing ever or something?
Is that no. What he was saying about it being easy.
You know what? The Beatles were timing. Like, you know that, yeah. Right? Here's how I can prove...
Let me be abundantly clear. I don't like the Beatles.
No, I don't
just
dislike
them. Everybody mad.
The older I get, the more I do appreciate the Beatles. Sincerely. I really do. But let's be logistically honest with ourselves. Paul McCartney wrote Pop Perfection with Yesterday in 1965. Okay, that's when that fucking song came out. 1965. And then by 1980, he's with Michael Jackson going, "The girl's mine." Like, what the fuck happened to you? Like, you wrote great fucking music. He sucked.
So this is my trajectory with the Beatles. Everybody talked about them when I was a kid like they were the greatest band of all time. When I listened to it, though, coming off of like the hard rock and metal that I was introduced to by my dad.
Sure.
Then the more electronic industrial stuff that I was introduced to by his friend, I was like, what the fuck is this? And I just didn't get into it. It wasn't my thing. It was pop music. And that's everything I was against at the time that I heard the Beatles for the first time. So a little while later, people were talking to me and trying to convince me that I was wrong. They were like, listen, go check out John Lennon's solo stuff. Then you'll kind of understand. You'll really be into it and all this. So, of course, I went out to Tower Records at the time.
Tower Records.
And they had just reissued one of John Lennon's solo records. So I bought it. It was on sale. I bought it.
Which record?
Two Virgins. Went home, listened to that, and I was like, everybody's just fucking with me. Nobody really likes the Beatles.
I had actually the opposite reaction to the Beatles. I hated them at first, and I was like, this is dumb. I don't want to listen to any of this music. And I started to appreciate them more.
Why is that?
I don't know, to be honest. Sometimes it just clicks, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, no, it's not even that. It's sometimes, you know, music sometimes is more just about hearing things and feeling things. So it clicks or it doesn't click, and sometimes that changes.
No, I 100% agree with that. Because that happened to me with a totally different band.
And I think we're getting to them momentarily, and that same thing happened with that band as well.
Actually, no, they didn't make my list.
Fuck you, Mike. Fuck you. Mike, actually, Corey, I gotta ask, unfortunately, why Blink-182? Why? You can answer me. That's it. That's all
I
got.
Like I said, I thought they were cool, so I kind of fell into that whole, like, oh, I want to be this cool, like, rock kid who does all the fun things.
There's
right,
nothing
right.
Cool there.
Yeah, well, obviously, I can see that now.
All right, what kind of guitar do you play? You just
God
fucking
damn it.
Shook your
I don't,
shoulders.
I'm trying
You're
to remember.
They,
I don't even remember. It's an Ibanez. I just remembered.
Okay. What shape is your Ibanez? Is it a Strat-looking Ibanez?
Yes.
So you have a Strat-looking Ibanez. How many pickups are there?
Two.
Are they humbuckers?
No. That one was too expensive.
You have two single coil pickups in your Ibanez?
Probably, yes.
You're a liar. they're humbuckers. Man. It's not that expensive. Never mind. The point's fucking mute. It's a moot point. The guy in Blink-182 plays with one pickup. That's gay! There's nothing good there. One pickup. Hurts my heart. You don't even
Listen.
Care. You know, he's like, why'd you bring me?
Well, not even that. But what did you expect from me?
No, you're a really gracious, nice guy. I like you a lot. The little I know you, it breaks my heart that God did this to you and that you're a fucking Blink-182 fan. That's like
so.
Not
I'm
fair.
Not a Blink-182 fan anymore. So if we can just clear that off.
Did you go to the reunion fucking
conference? But I did not. So I just wanted to be clear. I wanted to be as honest as possible, and that's what I was listening to at the time.
Have you ever gotten into Weezer in your entire life?
I did. Yes.
I would suggest, well then no, alright, then you did, that's good. Weezer is intelligent Blink-182, in my humble opinion.
Like, no, I can see with that.
It's the same kind of like shit, but man, the Weezer, they layer, their lyrics are smart, it's like, it's well written. What do you think of Weezer, man?
Josh Freese is a great drummer.
Wow. Okay. Who's your number one band of all time there, Mike, when you're 12 years old?
Well, I know it's going to be a controversial choice now, but Blink 182. No.
I'm gonna say it.
No, I have to go. I was going to make it Psychotica because they really obviously had a huge impact. But if I'm being honest, and it's not just when I was 12, it's my whole life, it'd be Black Sabbath.
Well, I made the list then. What the fuck? That was my band too.
No. I said a band that I changed my mind on.
I'm so confused.
When he was saying about the Beatles, I said that I had a band that I wasn't into when I first heard them, but now I'm like all about.
Who was that?
The Beach Boys.
I love me some Beach Boys.
I love the Beach Boys. But when I was a kid, I didn't.
Because it was too fucking above our heads, actually.
Yeah.
Like, when you understand production, and then understand the limitations he had physically and made those fucking records,
yeah.
But see, I didn't like that, alright, the Smile, was that the...
Yeah, that was the one
it
that
came
was
out no, it came out in 04,
yeah.
The revamp, I didn't like it. It just didn't do it for me.
I think it was one of those things where there was so much hype behind it, and people just expected whatever was in their minds is the greatest thing that they ever heard. Because if you go back and listen to Pet Sounds, even if you don't like the Beach Boys,
it's just
like their style of music, the production on that still holds up now. It's still better than anything anybody's making now.
In my humble opinion, the reason I didn't like Smile, none of the Beach Boys play on Smile, by the way. It's all these young hipster motherfuckers who learned the arrangements and sang all of Wilson's stuff. He really didn't helm it, though. It wasn't a Brian Wilson record at the end of the day. They took this really ancient stuff, and then you can interpret it. Like, as a guitar player, as a vocalist, as a bass player, you can do inflections that will augment the sound of it, and it doesn't sound like the fucking Beach Boys, or more to the point, Brian Wilson, in my humble opinion. And you guys don't say anything. You're the worst people in pop. Like, I'll talk.
No, I was letting you go.
Yeah.
I was letting you go.
But then I stopped talking, you're like,
I agree. Yeah, I was letting it wash over me.
Explain the first time you heard Black Sabbath, how it happened.
First time I heard Black Sabbath, I was a little kid, and I was going through my dad's records, and I came across Master of Reality, and I asked him to play it for me.
Really?
And yeah, I've been hooked ever since.
So good.
Yeah, that was the first one that I heard. It's still my favorite Sabbath record, even though it only has their second best singer and like fourth best drummer on it.
Asshole. All right,
that
Corey.
Was for you.
Number one band when you were 12 years old.
He just moved on. He's like, fuck you. Back to Corey.
It's going to have to be Avenged Sevenfold. Don't do that. Don't do that with a mic. That's not what they're for.
That's picking up next.
Okay.
What is that
thing? Exactly. I'm banging my head against my... So wait a minute. All right, let's be realistic. The Rev was a phenomenal drummer.
Yes.
Not going to lie. Fucking Pillhead. Dead now, but a phenomenal drummer. Both those guitar players are great guitar players.
Yes.
But you're gonna fucking tell me that's a great fucking band for real?
So...
For real.
So, I enjoyed their music quite a lot when I was growing up.
Let me think. It was that was Backcountry. That's when you were 12, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was fucking
I believe so, yeah.
So that's like their big thing. But like, Hail to the King!
No. I don't like Hail to the King.
So
well, to be honest, once the Rev died, I feel like all their
Once the Rev died, it was over.
Yeah, it was 100%
over.
You're
like, who the fuck is this Mike Portnoy?
He was the Cliff Burton man. It's not right.
Well, it wasn't even that, because he was very influential on the rest of the songs, even besides for drums and stuff like that. So, whenever I listen to the music and stuff like that, I would always be jamming to the guitars and stuff like that, and the beat, and... I realize now that there are too many vowels and they should not be extended beyond that in songs.
I don't know, man. This looks like your goddamn list. Alright.
Let's not repeat this, please.
Bullet for My Valentine? I don't even give you shit for that one. I kind of like that one. I was pretty impressed with number 5. Number 4 is Rob Zombie. Alright, I'm with you. I've seen Zombie in concert, literally, with Manson, ironically
enough. Oh yeah, I've seen him with Manson.
I have a couple of the records. I'm not per se a Rob Zombie fan. I got snubbed backstage at Mayhem Fest by Johnny Five, so fuck him now. Don't snub me. Fucking Lizzie Hale snubbed me. Fuck her too. You just can't snub me.
Alright, so I'm going to throw something in there. I was at a festival, and there was a gentleman, a young gentleman who was with me, who we both know, I'm not even going to mention his name here, who is no longer associated with either one of us. You know who I mean.
No idea, but that's okay.
Not a very truthful person.
Oh, yes! I'm a little associated.
You know who I mean. And somebody came up to us and they were like, hey, do you want to meet Lizzie Hale? And I said, no. And we kept going, and he was so disappointed that that didn't happen. So I snubbed Lizzie Hale for you.
Thank God. I had a meeting after our first European tour in David Ivory's fucking office, and Lizzie Hale was sitting across the table. And I was mad at David Ivory at that point in my life. Like, I felt betrayed by that person. For real. for real. So I'm like being kind of snippy with him when he's talking. I'm like, anyway, the point is, she was hanging on my every fucking word. She hadn't been to Europe yet, and I just got back. She's like, oh, you didn't tell me about that. That was amazing. Blah, blah, blah. 2 fucking years later, I see her backstage on South Street. No fucking idea who I am. I bleed from the eyes, for God's sake. You know who the fuck I am. I don't age. I'm like a vampire. I look exactly the same. For real. I have more tattoos. That's the only difference. You know me 4 years. Have I changed? I don't change. I look exactly the fucking same. Point of my wife, by the way. The bottom line is I got snubbed. Fuck that. And then Johnny 5. I'm like, hey, Johnny. And he's just like, fuck that guy. Like, you know, I was right here, like this far away from him. I was like, hey, man. He's like, fuck you. Playing a fucking telecaster. What are you, fucking die? Anyway.
I was more of a White Zombie guy.
Yeah, right. Well, let's be honest. That first record's atrocious, but White Zombie is fucking horseshit, man.
I was more of a White Zombie guy, and that was another thing that hooked me to Psychotica as well. Is that
yeah.
All the guitar playing was from
exactly. All right. When you were a kid, the number one band is who again?
Avenged Sevenfold.
Just to rub it in.
Just to rub it
like,
in.
Can you please say that again? Because I disbelieve right? it. I blocked it out already.
To be fair, though, I really didn't get into music until I was older.
So what do you mean like, older?
Like, when I could
You're still not older.
Okay.
When I was 30, I really got into records.
Now, how old
were you? I mean, it was a progression.
Well, where'd you grow up? Were you from? You're not from Puerto Rico at all, right?
No. I was born and raised in Philly.
So what the fuck? There's 93 Human Wars has been there forever. For 50 years, man.
Here's the thing, though. Same thing with, unfortunately, with Blink 182 is a lot of people listen to Avenged Sevenfold. So, like, there are people buying
right.
those records.
Right. So, I think one of the most things is it was more mainstream. So, it was easier for me to get a hold of because I wasn't really introduced to my music besides for talking about it with my friend group. And none of us were really able to go out in the world. Our parents were like.
As somebody who appreciates Avenged Sevenfold, did you explore the back catalog? Look at your face. Like, look at. Did you explore the back catalog pre-Bat Country?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, how far back did you go?
I mean, I listened to all of their stuff.
Because there was a time, you have to help me, I'm not a huge Avenged Sevenfold fan. In like 01, 02, they had like white faces on stage and shit, right? That was like a look for a while. Look at you, you have no idea. Okay.
I was 8.
Yeah, no, but. You see, I was not alive when the Doors walked the planet Earth.
True.
But
true.
I own every one of their fucking records, and I can tell you everything about them. So it's like.
Well, yeah.
I love that
song, I guess.
Alex a couple years ago.
Well, to be fair, I guess when. I had access to be able to look all of these things up. I wasn't really into these bands as much anymore, so my interest never really followed suit in that perspective.
Okay, I respect that. That makes
like,
sense.
Like, I didn't have a computer until I was, like, 17. Like, a computer I could use for myself. I came from a pretty
low income. I didn't have a computer until 1999.
Oh, okay, but you know what I mean.
Like my mid-20s.
People my age and stuff like that have had more influences and easier way to come by from that point of view. I didn't know what a record store was until I watched like a movie explaining to me what a record store was. My parents were never people who
was
were...
Was it Empire Records?
Yes, actually it is.
No. I'm not knocking them for that one. I fucking like that movie. What's her name?
I'm not kidding at all.
The blonde chick was ridiculously hot there before she came Bridget Jones Diary and got all fat and weird and shit.
Oh, I was never into her.
Oh, she was hot. She was just a slut. And it was Rex Manning Day. My name was Vex. I was like, yeah, I get that. Yeah.
No. I was more about the chick from The Craft who shaved her head.
Right. The one who went to.
I was not into that. I like the feminine background.
I like really strange girls.
I can attest to that.
You know, Mike, why don't you tell them on the Vex and Vex podcast what your favorite kind of porno is?
I like, and yeah, I guess you were just talking about the internet and stuff. So I like, and Corey's aware of this, video of women hitting each other.
No, wait, in a sexual fashion or just like, boom?
Oh, so this is where it gets weird, I guess.
Okay.
Because it's not just the women.
Corey, here's where it gets weird.
This is where it's going to start to sound a little bit weird. It really is just about the fighting. Like, it's not, because I've noticed, I don't think I really have a type for women.
If they say yes, I'm there.
I don't think I really have a type, but I've noticed, like, I don't even really need to find the women in these videos all that attractive. Like, they can't be terrible to where, like, I don't want to look at them, but it's really not about them. It's about the violence.
As you were telling that story, I'm not even making this up, the phrase that went across my mind. You can use this for a band inquiry. Bull Dyke Economics.
What?
See, I don't know, get it. I don't know why. You were like talking, and I was like, yeah. He goes, we'll see Bull Dyke's fight. Bull Dyke's Economics is coming on tour. I don't know, it just fucking happened. Like, that kind of shit happens constantly in my head.
Well, here's... not to interrupt, but this is where it's weird for me, that this is, like, a fetish of mine, is it's only the videos. Like, I don't want this to happen. I don't want to be with a girl who, like, picks fights.
Well, no, but you're not a serial killer either. Like, you don't want to act it out.
Right, like, I don't want... Yeah, but I think a lot of people watch porn of things that they like. Like, if you're into feet, for example, you probably watch a lot of foot-oriented videos.
Corey, do you watch a lot of foot videos?
I do not, unfortunately.
Unfortunately? So you want to watch foot videos is what you're telling me.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. It's not all that bad. All
right, listen. We have reached the 1 hour. Well, we're over an hour on the Vex on Vex podcast featuring Pagan. I'm going to invite you guys to do Pagan Part 2, if you're okay with hanging about.
Okay, are you good?
Sure, why not?
We're going to delve deeper into Corey's psychological background. I want to find out what his parents did for a living. I want to really open this up and find out why anyone's into Blink fucking 182. You know what I mean? We're going to get on this. So, guys, thank you so much for listening. The Vex on Vex podcast is sponsored by the Loud and Loaded Network. Loud and Loaded Network.
Yeah.
It's on the Podbean.
Come on, Tina.
The Podbean application. And this is VexX with Pagan telling you to stay frosty.